Luke, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks very much for joining us on the program. NATSILS, the National Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Legal Services, said that since the Royal Commission, no police officer or authority has been convicted for black deaths in custody. What exactly has changed? Have we seen anything really change in practical terms or in the conversation since that Royal Commission came out?
Well, I think the short answer is, unfortunately, nowhere near enough has changed. It's actually quite depressing to recognise how long this history is, the decades for which Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples and communities and organisations and their supporters have been advocating for change. And it's a really poignant time to recognise that so much of that struggle has been carried by Indigenous families. And I've been reminded in the last couple of days just what an enormous task and undertaking that is for Aboriginal families who have lost loved ones in custody to deal with their grief and their sorrow and their anger and their loss, but also to have the energy and the courage and the fortitude to advocate for change. And so I'm reminded that that is the backstory to the Royal Commission of the late 1980s. It was the tragic death of John Pat in Roeburn in Western Australia, which really was the catalyst for a movement towards change, which produced the Royal Commission back then. And I think it's really important to recognise and remember the role that Aboriginal families have played in advocating for change, and that continues to this day.
I mean, speaking of massive undertakings, the Royal Commission report itself made some 339 recommendations. And that does sound like a huge undertaking to get those ones started, regardless of what you might say about the place where it all began, what the Royal Commission was looking into in the first place. But regardless of how big the undertaking, few of these recommendations seem to have actually been implemented. How do you actually address, once you have a Royal Commission into something and you say these are the problems that need to get solved, how do you then address the lack of action on those recommendations?
Well, it's a really critical issue to recognise that what is required whenever a Royal Commission hands down recommendations, there needs to be genuine, active, engaged leadership. And reflecting on the last 30 years, I think one thing that really has been lacking is genuine, committed leadership. And I think it's fair to say that there's been no Prime Minister, there's been no state or territory Premier who has, over the course of the last 30 years, put a line on the ground and said, right, from now on, I'm going to be the person that leads the government to achieve meaningful change in this area. So I think it's really critical to recognise that it doesn't matter how impressive or important or learned a suite of recommendations might be, if there is not genuine, deep, long-term political will to implement recommendations, then nothing will change. And the sad part about this story is that it's not just that there's been insufficient change. Things have actually got worse. The rate of overrepresentation of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people in prisons has increased, not decreased, over the last 30 years. So the tragedy of deaths in custody is that the problem continues. And, you know, one thing I've reflected on these last few days around the 30th anniversary, being so moved and so grateful for the advocacy of Aboriginal families who are really leading on this in a way that our governments are not, is just to imagine how things could have been different. What would have been the case if there'd been concerted government action in 1991, when the commissioners handed down their final report in the Royal Commission into Aboriginal deaths in custody? What if there'd been a really concerted effort, a high priority, unwavering, undistracted? Things could have been so very different. Incarceration rates could have been substantially lower, and as a result, deaths in custodies would not have occurred at the rate that they are occurring. So it's one thing to lament that, and I know it causes enormous frustration and anger in many quarters, and rightly so. But it remains the case today that we need governments to actively engage and to listen and to not just receive documents and to mouth words, but actually take concerted action.
And I'd just like to point out, coming from these rallies, just in regards to what you were saying there, Luke, people are calling on the Prime Minister to meet with some of the families of these victims and actually listen to some of their stories and answer some questions kind of face-to-face. Do you see anything like that in all likelihood going to occur in the sort of current administration?
Well, it should. I mean, it's absolutely essential. And I can't for the life of me think why a political leader would not gratefully receive an offer like that and recognise that the enormous amount of work which Aboriginal families are doing, have been doing for decades. This topic would not be at the centre of the political stage if not for their efforts. No government is putting it centre stage. Aboriginal families are putting it centre stage. And I think it's absolutely essential that all political leaders at the federal and state and territory levels respect the magnitude of the problem and respect the efforts of Aboriginal families. So I would absolutely support the call for the Prime Minister to meet families and to listen to them.
Well, Luke, very much appreciate your insight into this one this morning.
It's been a pleasure to be with you.